Live from Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
Presented by this Saturday's mega fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia. Live on pay-per-view.
Now here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome inside the Hall of Fame, broadcasting live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is the Beau Brad Gilmore. We're going to be talking about the big fight going down this weekend. Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia live on pay-per-view Saturday night from T-Mobile. I know what everyone's thinking. Where's Booker T? It's a great question. We have had the plane ride from hell, and I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into the fight and things that are going on in the sports world and the wrestling world, of course. Joining me, though, here on the show, we got a couple special people who are going to be helping me throughout the broadcast. First off, I got to give shout-outs to my guy right now, man. First time I've worked with this man live on the air, DJ Jay Shay. Joshua Cervantes in the house. Josh, how we doing, brother?
Doing good. Can't complain.
Man, this is an odd way for us to get acquainted, isn't it? This is how we're meeting for the first time.
But, you know, can't complain. What can I say?
And you just heard him on Late Hits. This guy, you hear him all the time. He's always opinionated. He's often imitated. He's never duplicated. He eats T-bone steaks. He lifts barbell plates, and he's sweeter than German chocolate cake. Patrick Crane, are you there, brother?
I am here with the boat.
Look, you live with me right now, man. This is a big moment. This is me, you. It's Josh. I mean, we're doing this thing live from Las Vegas, Nevada. You had an excellent show. I heard you talk about James Harden bag tagging somebody. I missed this. What happened?
So he's on the right elbow, and you know he's, you know how he gets his shoulder and he leans down and he's getting covered, and then he uses his left arm to try to push off. And he just slams the guy, his defender, square in the junk. And you could tell because the reaction was immediate. You know, the guy like just pops up, buckles over. And then Harden turns around and pulls a Tim Duncan / LeBron James. What do you mean foul on me? On me? How could you call a foul on me? And then they show the replay, and it's a straight, like, capital of Thailand shot. Straight shot.
Well, you know, man, here's the thing. This is the playoffs. We get a little dicey. We've already seen somebody step on somebody's chest in the playoffs. I mean, why not have a little bag tag? Josh, did you think that it was that egregious? Was James Harden hitting below the belt? Should he have not gone that direction? Because I haven't seen it. I'm relying on you people.
I won't lie to you. The only person who laid their eyes on it was Patrick Crane, because I needed to run to the bathroom during that break.
And what the hell do you mean, you people?
I mean you people, Patrick Crane from the East Coast. That's what I mean. I mean you people from the East Coast. You know what I mean? You're always trying to see what someone's doing wrong instead of what they're doing right. What is his stat line looking like? I bet you James Harden's putting points on the board for the 76ers. Well, not now because he's been ejected, but before that.
Say his stat line was, you know, got booted the you know what out. And this was a game, you know, look. Philly winds up coming back to win the game, and now they've got a 3-0 lead. So they obviously didn't need Harden, and Harden played 29 minutes. It's not like he got ejected in the first quarter. But, yeah, he was having a pretty good game. He had 21 points. He had 5 boards. He had 4 assists. He shot 8 of 15. Only got to the foul line 3 times, very un-Harden-like. But, you know, Maxey had 25, and Embiid, who had a double-double. Embiid was in foul trouble. He had 5 fouls, and Embiid, like, kicked a guy in the junk but got away with it. They were, like, all crossed over each other, and, some, like, Embiid was on the floor. A guy walked over him, and Embiid just sticks his leg up and kicks him. Then there was another play where Embiid gets tangled with another Nets player, falls over him, and then gets up, but he's limping, and he's gimpy, and he can't move. And Embiid's butt landed on the guy's head. The guy gets up, and Embiid's like, oh, my leg. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, if you butt land on somebody else's head, usually that guy gets the worst of it. Didn't work out that way for Joel Embiid. But, like I said, the Sixers wind up winning anyway, and the very undermanned Brooklyn Nets are one game away from getting to hit the golf course.
Yeah, getting swept again in the first round, although this time I can't blame them because all their firepower left them in the middle of the season. But that's neither here nor there. Patrick Crane. I'm live in Las Vegas right now. I've had, like I said, the plane ride from hell. Now, everybody knows that recently, I don't know what's been going on in this country, but flights are getting delayed all the time. I was in Indianapolis over the weekend, got delayed like 3 or 4 hours. And by the way, I don't know if I have any fans or listeners or if this show has anybody in Indianapolis who's a dedicated listener. I'm very sorry. That is not a fun town. Have you ever been to Indianapolis, Pat?
I have not been to Indianapolis.
Well, guess what? It's everything you think it would be.
So it's dumb.
Which isn't a whole lot. I'm just being honest. There wasn't a lot going on in Indianapolis, but the flights were delayed there. You were telling me that they've been delayed all over the world. What is going on?
Well, Southwest was in trouble again. They had their flights grounded for like half a day. It seems like there's a lot of technical glitches that seem to be going on that are causing planes to be grounded or flights to be all messed up. There was a technical glitch with, what was it, JetBlue, where their scheduling system was messed up, so they didn't have any pilots available for like half their flights. There's been all kinds of computer issues for our airlines this year that seem to be just causing all kinds of havoc for air travelers. And it's hit or miss. You have never know from one weekend to the next, is this going to be a normal week or is everything going to hell?
Well, here's the thing. Now, I understand computer glitches. I get that. And I'm not going to bore people with all the things that happened at the airport. But this is what I'll tell you. When I landed here in Las Vegas, I started to try to figure it out. I wanted to know, why was my 225 out of Bush Intercontinental canceled? Not delayed, Pat. It was canceled.
Canceled?
And then it was completely canceled. No explanation of any kind. Me and BT are running around the – that's Booker T for all the people who are just listening. BT is Booker T. I don't know if people knew that, but I'm assuming that they did.
Now they know.
Me, I don't know if you ever would have picked up on it, Crate. I know you listen a little slow. But anyway, we're running all over the airport trying to figure this thing out. I get on a flight that was supposed to take off at 11:25, and I land here. But when I land here, I put on the investigative cap, and I figure this out. Here's what it is. So this is the weekend of the biggest fight of the year. By far, you know, PBC Premier Boxing Champions, you have Gervonta Tank Davis taking on King Ryan Garcia. Someone's O must go. Winner take all, by the way. I want to get into that. Not only is that going on, we have the Latin American Music Awards going on right now at the MGM2. The Latin AMAs are going on right now. I swear Becky G is somewhere in the vicinity. And I'm be honest with you, I'm a happily married man. Over the last year, I just celebrated my anniversary. I'm happily married. My waistline can prove it. But I will tell you, Becky G might make a man question things. But anyway, this is my point. My point is, on the biggest fight weekend, on the biggest weekend in Las Vegas so far, they decide to repave one of the runways at Harry Reid International Airport. Now, I don't know who had this decision. Who was on the city committee? Who planned this? Hey, you know what would be great? On the biggest weekend where we have the most travel and the most money coming into the city so far for the calendar year 2023, we're going to just lay new asphalt. What is going on, Creighton?
Somebody did not grease the wheels. Somebody missed a payment. That's what happened. That or, you know, you are in Vegas and you know the history of Vegas. Maybe there's a reason why the airstrip had to be repaved. Maybe something got buried over there that needed to be
like
buried
kind of,
and hidden.
Some kind of Hoffa thing going on?
Could be. You never know. I mean, it is Vegas.
It is Vegas. Stranger things have happened. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm excited to be here. Booker T is not here, but we're going to be talking about this Gervonta Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia fight. Pat, I hope you can hang out with me for a minute because I would like some of your insight on this because you're a boxing guy too. Pat's a man of all traits. If y'all haven't heard him on the Hall of Fame before, I think you've been on with us before, I'm sure. But if you haven't heard him, this man knows everything there is to know about all sports. That's why I feel confident enough that you and I can maybe analyze this Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia fight again. This goes down, guys, this Saturday night, live on pay-per-view, Showtime pay-per-view, PBC, from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the first time we've been out here, Crate, for a fight since the pandemic. I'm so excited to see this, man. I can't believe it's been 3 years.
It's been a while since it's been. I mean, I've been out there a couple of times this year for different things, and it had been the first time I've been out there really in a couple of years. And man, I miss Vegas. I'm not gonna say that I don't miss Vegas. I love Vegas, and I'm not a big, you know, I don't play a lot of cards or, you know, I don't play a lot of table games. I like to go see some shows, and I like to, you know, experience all the different places to eat and stuff like that. But generally, when I go out to Vegas, I'm going out, I'm working, We're eating. We're going to see a show. I don't really spend a lot of time on the casino floor. That's just not me. I will tell you that during this upcoming break, I'm going to spend a lot of time analyzing some pictures of this Becky G person that you just introduced me to, because I had no idea who the heck she is. I could not pick a Becky G song out of a lineup. Probably
have
never heard one, but I am going to analyze these photos and decide.
Josh, do you know Becky G?
I do now, looking at the photos on Google.
I do now, right?
Look, y'all do yourselves a favor during the break. You're going to pull up YouTube. You're going to type in Sin Pijama Becky G, and we're going to have a great break. I'm telling you, we got to break down and analyze this. Josh, are you a Vegas guy, by the way?
Does that mean no pajamas?
That means no pajamas.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. Think about, just imagine what the video could look like. Have you looked up a picture of Becky?
I'm looking at pictures of her right now.
Yeah, and what do we think? We're a fan, right?
I think that I should not make those comments on the radio.
You know, I'll make it for you, PC.
We're
a fan. Listen, come
Brad
on, man,
is a happily married man for like a year and a half. About to be married for 22 years. You know what that means? I don't have that honeymoon grace period anymore. Now, when I screw up, I get hit with a rolling pin or a pan or worse. All right? I do not want to sleep on the couch. I do not want to sleep on the car. What I'm going to do is I'm going to very quietly admire a beautiful young woman, and I'm going to shut my mouth about it.
Well, you know what, man? Look, that's great. But you know what? I learned something. I learned something from Book. And I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. When I got married, Booker said, look, I'm going to give you the best piece of advice I can give you. He said, you're going to be committed to your woman. You're not going to think about being with another woman. This is your woman for the rest of the world, the rest of the end of time. He said, but I want you to remember something. And never forget this, Brad. Your eyes still work.
Yeah, they do.
The eyes work, man. And you know what? I'm not dead. You know what I mean? And me and Josh, we can talk about it, because she is a very attractive young lady.
She also looks like she's young enough to be my daughter, which is kind of creeping me out a little bit.
You know why, Pep? Because you're old. That's why. That's why that happens.
Thank you for that horrible reality check. I appreciate you, Brad Gilmore.
We are inside the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5. I got Patrick Creighton with me. I got DJ Jay Shay with me. This is your man of the boat, Brad Gilmore, filling in for Booker T. And we'll be back live from Las Vegas at the MGM Grand in a moment.
Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5. Presented by this Saturday's mega fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia. Live on pay-per-view.
Go to sho.com/PPV to order now.
Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame. We are broadcasting live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Brad Gilmore. This is ESPN 975. Man, I got my man Craig. Craig, are you still with me, man?
Still with you, brother.
Okay, just making sure. We got DJ Jay Shay in the building. Josh is here on the ones and twos, on the wheels of steel. We were just having a little conversation about some hip-hop and some Becky G in the break. He's 22 years old, man, and I can't believe you don't know Becky G. But it's okay. We are here talking about Gervonta Tank Davis, King Ryan Garcia. Now, Pat, I know that you follow the boxing game. You enjoy a fight or two. Or are either of these guys on your radar? Do you know about the lineage of a Ryan Garcia and a Gervonta Tank Davis?
Well, I mean, listen, I've been following Tank Davis for a long time. I mean, you know, Tank Davis is, you know, one of the pound for pound best fighters in the world. And I mean, if you want to watch a Tank Davis fight, you better not be late to your seat. He's 28-0. He's got 26 knockouts, and 16 of them have come in the first three rounds. So you best not be late when you come to see Tank Davis.
Man, you know what? I'm with you. I've seen this guy, and Tank is a guy, man, who's just only progressed as a fighter. Sometimes, especially when you got a record like his, 28-0, 22 knockouts, 16 of them coming in the first three rounds, you might think that this guy's peaked. You might think we've seen the best of Tank Davis, but this is the crazy thing about it, man. I don't even think we've seen the best of him. And for him to be going against somebody like King Ryan Garcia, both these guys are undefeated for a reason. And if you go through their roster, you go through their resume, the people that they have defeated in their young careers, it's not like they've just been remember how in Rocky, what was it, Rocky III, how Mick just was setting up tomato cans for Rock to kind of pad the record?
And get that Rock didn't like that either.
Rock didn't like it either. Then he met Clubber Lang, and he was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should have fought those tomato cans a little bit longer. But the point is, these guys haven't been fighting bums or anything like that. They've been going out there and having to get these wins. They are earned every W that's in their column. And for me, I like Tank in this fight. It looks like the sports books, I took a look at them before I came over here. At least the BetMGM sports books have him as a minus 150 favorite as it stands right now. I don't love those, to be honest with you. I don't love the bet on this one because this is one that I think it's all going to depend on the round. But you're a big sports betting guy. What are you seeing over there, Pat, as far as where the lines are laying from the books that you like to look at?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're seeing Tank Davis at minus 150, that's not bad because, I've been seeing him at minus 230. So if you're getting – if you're getting down to minus 150, those odds are actually a lot better than what they've been for the last, I don't know, week or so. That number has been moving.
That's what happens in Vegas. The closer you get to the fight, the closer the numbers get, right? And to me, this fight, Pat, it's such a close one when you really look at these two guys and you look at their pedigree. It's going to come down to a couple things for me. I think if this fight goes past the seventh round, I like Tank Davis because this Ryan Garcia's got a motor on him, man. He's got a motor on him, and he is not going to slack at all when it comes to a cardio game. He's got good defense. If Tank can put it on him and lay one on the chin, sure, he can get him out of there early. I don't really find that's going to happen. I think this goes all the way. But tell me, am I a conspiracy theorist out here? Because this fight, this someone's all must go, right? Someone's going to lose for the first time. And to me, this is sitting up. I smell a trilogy here, Pat. I smell a trilogy, right? This makes most sense. This is how you can capitalize on the most monetary gain for a fight. I can remember the last big trilogy we had in boxing was Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, where they had the first fight in L.A. at the Staples. Then they came here at the MGM Grand for fight two. They fought, I believe, at Madison Square Garden at the Barclays in New York for fight three. And in order to get to a fight three, there's got to be a draw somewhere. Then there's got to be a win, and then we got to get to a fight three, right? I feel a draw is coming. I really do. I think that this might happen. Maybe I'm being too conspiratorial, but I saw that draw was laying at plus 1,600. So if I'm out here to bet, that's what I'm betting on. If I'm trying to make money, I'm not going to make money at minus 150. I'm not going to make money at plus 200. I can make money, though, at plus 1,600.
Yeah, you like those big numbers, right? Here's I guess, I understand the whole idea of how do we maximize the profits in a particular rivalry, right? Now, Garcia hasn't, been under 138 pounds in over 2 years. So this
– talk about it. This is a great point.
This catch weight at 136 is a big deal. Garcia's got to cut a lot of weight. Now, they put a – Tank insisted on having a rehydration clause put into the deal. So Garcia can only add a total of 10 pounds from the weigh-in to the fight. So he can't be more than 146 pounds when they actually get into the ring. So that puts more strain on Garcia's body, makes him weaker because he doesn't get to recover from all the weight that he had to cut to get down to this catch weight. All these things favor Tank. And despite the fact that Tank is a much shorter fighter, he's like 5'5 and a half, Garcia's 5'10. Tank does have a history of doing very well against taller fighters. Taller fighter that he fought recently, Mario Barrios, where he won the WBA super lightweight title. Barrios was 5'10". And, it went longer. It only went 11 rounds, but ultimately was a TKO in favor of Tank Davis. He's a guy who historically has done well against bigger, taller fighters. You know, he's Tank Davis. I mean, he's so strong for his size. But a guy like Garcia, who not just has a height advantage, has a reach advantage, has a speed advantage. So it's not just that he can pop him at bay, but he can pop him really fast at bay. It's a different kind of fighter than Tank Davis has seen before. But much to what you were saying earlier, Davis is a guy who, you know, Tank is a guy who can, you know, fight a little bit longer. Garcia has this thing. He comes out like a house of fire, right?
Yeah.
He comes out throwing like crazy for three rounds. Is he going to gas because he had to drop more weight than usual, had to cut more weight? He couldn't rehydrate the way that he normally was. His style of fight, he fights furiously for the first three rounds. Is he going to gas? And if he does and he winds up losing because he was gassed and he couldn't rehydrate, is that the excuse that gets used? Hey, you know what? You had me at a disadvantage. Now let's even the stakes a little bit and see if you can take me then. I can totally see that line being used to create an additional fight.
I think that you're 100% right. Now, this hydration clause that Pat was talking about, I think is really key here. Because when you're a guy like Ryan Garcia and you're used to a certain weight, right? With that weight, you know, Pat, comes that power, comes that pop. Right? And just a few extra pounds can make all the difference in the world. So if you have this rehydration clause, and what that means, if people out here aren't really fight fans and don't understand what that means, you have to cut weight, right, to make the weight. In this one, it's 136. You have to cut weight for the weigh-in to get to that level in order to be eligible for the fight and get your fight purse and all these things, right? But most fighters, what they do is after they cut weight and make it and they're officially made weight for the fight, they go and they rehydrate. They go and they drink a bunch of water. They do what they want to do so that they can get their body weight back up. And most fighters, no matter what the weight class is, they are coming in well over whatever weight they're fighting at. If you want to take it to the UFC and guys who are fighting at 170, when they walk in there, they're probably about 180, 185. And that extra weight is really going to help you if you're somebody like a Ryan Garcia, as you were saying, who comes out swinging in the first couple of rounds and really wants to pack that punch, pack that pop, as I say. Those extra pounds, those extra loves help you get there. For that reason, I think this is why all the books have it as Tank Davis as the favor. And as I said before, I'm setting the over-under of this at 7.5 rounds. I think this fight goes the distance. If I had to guess, I think it goes the distance. Now, does that favor Tank? Yes. Does that mean he's necessarily going to walk out with a W Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view, PBC Premier Boxing Champions from the T-Mobile Arena? No, it does not. And that's why, Pat, out of all the fights that we've covered on this show over the years, Booker and I, this has been the most difficult one for me to actually call. Now, people who've listened to the show for a long time, I normally get them all the time right. I always call it, whether it was a Pacquiao and Keith one time, Thurman, Keith one time hadn't lost. I said, the old man still got it in his legs. Boom, he gets the job done. Whether it was Deontay Wilder and King Kong Ortiz, King Kong's got that punch. Well, guess what? Deontay Wilder had that pop. And when it was Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, even though my heart wanted the Alabama native to go through and get it, I knew Tyson Fury was going to get him out of there. This one, Patrick Creighton, I cannot call.
This is, you know, styles make fights, right? So yes. You've got a tall, long, fast fighter against a shorter, you know, more powerful fighter. You've got the weight class being a little different. But I'm with you. I think this is a fight Gervonta Davis wins. I think all the stipulations in this fight favor Gervonta Davis. And, you know, look. When the deck is stacked in your favor, it's hard not to win, especially when you are as great a fighter as Davis. When you have that kind of one-punch knockout power that, you know, hey, you just catch somebody. You just catch a flush left hand. That's it. Lights out. And because of the fact, I think there'll come a point where Garcia will be maybe feeling a little tired, maybe feeling the effects of not having fully rehydrated. You know, sometimes your arms get a little heavy, punches get a little tired, and Tank's going to catch him, and it's going to be over. Might be round 8, might be round 9, but I think Tank's going to catch him, and that's going to be it.
Well, you know what? There's going to be only one way to find out. That's going to be live here in the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada on Saturday night. Showtime pay-per-view. We're going to talk more about this. We got Patrick Creighton. We got DJ Jay Shay. This is the Hall of Fame, ESPN 97.5. We'll be back in a second, H-Town.
Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow live from Las Vegas. This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5, presented by this Saturday's mega fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia.
Go to sho.com/PPV to order now.
Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, ESPN 975. It's your man, Brad Gilmore, broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Nevada at the beautiful MGM Grand. I'm in the media center, and they always do this thing right, man. It feels like a big weekend. It is a big weekend. Gervonta, Tank Davis, King, Ryan Garcia, we've been talking about it on the show. I got Patrick Creighton still here, right?
Still here, brother. Hey, man, let me ask you, because you're down there, you're in the media center. What's the vibe going on around there? Is it like you feel like, you know, when something we've been out there before for big fights, and there's a feel that you get from the energy when there's a big fight going on. What's the vibe out there? What's the, you know, there's a bunch of other people from stations and TV stations all over the country. What are you feeling there in that media area as we get ready for this fight?
Yeah, man, you nailed it, brother. It's got a big feel to it. And you know, going out to these fights, you would think that, you know, man, you get used to it, and man, oh yeah, I've seen this 100 times. This one is a different level. This is a different level. This is as big as it gets in the world of boxing right now. And although, like, I feel like we're not in that world anymore to where, you know, back in the late 90s and even early aughts, every boxer was, like, world-renowned famous. Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox and all those guys, and even Floyd. I don't feel like we're there with boxing anymore, but if you're a boxing fan, this is a fight that you've been waiting on. And you know what, Patrick Creighton? I even have a little sheet here in front of me that is the, what is this? This is the social influencer guide I have in front of me. And they have certain words they want us to use to talk about this fight. And I'm going to read them all for you. Ready? Ready for these? Must watch. All action. Explosive action. Packs power. Sensational. Tremendous challenge. Clash of styles, all in a day's work. Look at those. Those are some key words for y'all, brought to you by the fine folks at the Premier Boxing Champions Show. Show pay-per-view, Showtime pay-per-view. Make sure you go check it out and order it. Now, we were talking about before the break, it was hard for me to call this one. I didn't know which way I was leaning. I didn't know which way I was going when it comes to this. You seem to be very firmly in the camp of Tank Davis, which I understand. But my man Josh is here. DJ Jay Shay, as I've nicknamed him for this edition of the Hall of Fame. And he was telling me during the break, it was hard for him to pick it. All week long, he's been 50-50 up until, I think he said, today. So, Josh, what are you talking about, man? And where are you sitting on this fight?
So, at first, I was all with Tank. To me, I thought Ryan Garcia was just a TikTok star doing all of his speed work. Won't lie to you there. But then, you know, I actually started doing some research, and I was like, okay, you know what? This is actually a very solid opponent, and to steal one of the words that we just used, this is definitely a clash of styles. So I was quite 50-50, you know, reach and speed versus, you know, power, which, you know, that's tend to what I lean towards. But what did I see this week and also today? One was a video, I believe it was either ESPN on Instagram or House of Highlights posted Gervonta Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia doing bag work. And, you know, Ryan Garcia, he's doing the bag work, and then he looks right directly into the camera, and then he's continue punching and punching. And then you contrast it to Tank, and he's just focusing on, you know, his combinations. And to me, winners focus on winning, losers focus on winners, right? So clearly I felt like Ryan Garcia was doing it just a little bit for the cameras, but today I saw all I needed to see. At the press conference, and I'm not going to quote it directly, but when they're trash talking, when Tank Davis said, do not bring your mother and do not bring your daughter because I'm going to knock and break your jaw. Man, if you ask me, Ryan Garcia looked shook. That man looked like he didn't even know what to respond with. And I was like, all right, that's it. Game over. Knockout by the 7th round. That's what I'm going with.
Wow, knockout by seven rounds. So you saw the fear in the man's eyes, is what you're saying.
That's all I needed to see right there. Just how do you respond in trash talk? How much do you believe yourself? Once this man says, don't bring your daughter, and you can't respond, okay, that's all I needed to hear.
Now, this was a different kind of bag work than what we saw from James Harden earlier today.
Oh, very different bag work.
Just a little different, brother. Just a little different.
See, you mentioned Clash of Styles. See, I need to get some vintage Boat Gilmore Clash of Styles. Like, I need to get, like, Clash of Styles.
You know what? I can give it to you, like, in the voice of Macho Man Randy Savage. Should I do a Randy Savage impression right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely.
All right, let me see if I can do this because I've been traveling all day. I'm going to give, like, the fight promo, but as the Macho Man Randy Savage, WWE Hall of Famer.
Dig it. This Saturday night, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, you have a tremendous clash. A clash of styles. The road to the throne is long, Gervonta Tank Davis, he's too hot to handle. And Ryan Garcia, he's too cold to hold, brother. Who's going to win? We're going to have to tune in Saturday night to see Premier Boxing Champions live on pay-per-view. Dig it.
What do you think of that? Was that all right?
That was really good, dude. That was awesome.
There we go. What do you think? Jay Shay, do you know who the Macho Man is? Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Jay Shay,
yes,
do you know who the Macho Man is?
Yes, I actually do.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't know what you know. You don't know Becky G, but you know the Macho Man.
He may have snapped into a Slim Jim once or twice.
Maybe he has. Now, you know, Macho Man, speaking of rap, because Joshua was asking, hey, what do you want to come in and out of breaks? I said, just whatever hip-hop you have. Like, I'll take it all. Jay-Z, he's played Houston Resident 50 Cent there a minute ago. But you know, the Macho Man is one of the most legendary rap albums of all time. Have either one of you ever heard the Be a Man album?
I feel like I am going to let you down when I tell you I have no idea what this is.
Are you serious? Ryan? I mean, Joshua, do you know what the Macho Man rap album is?
I think me and PC are in the
same boat. Are you yanking my chain with this? Like this?
Wait,
like this? Is no
wait,
real
no.
actual album for this, right?
Joshua, can you do me a favor? Can you go to the YouTubes and can you pull up "Be a Man" by Randy Savage? And
we'll
can,
do.
We, can we? Can
wait,
we?
This,
the people,
this is a real thing.
This not only is this a real thing. "Be a Man" was the diss track on the album to Hulk Hogan.
That's awesome.
How do y'all not know about this? This is one of the things that, as a wrestling fan in 03, the two things I've loved my entire life, hip-hop and wrestling, and they came together in the form of a rap album for one of the greatest of all time, the Macho Man Randy Savage. Joshua, have you found that for me?
I think I know the reason why I don't know this, because as you said, two of your favorite things, wrestling and hip-hop, I only share your love for one of those.
90s gangster rap? No? You're not an NWA fan? You don't like Ice-T?
I'm
West Side Connection?
I was more into Ice-T and Body Count.
Okay. You like the little hardcore stuff that he had going on there. Wait, but I need to know, Joshua, have we found this record?
See, I would have you on this one, but you see, this ESPN 97.5 computer is a little bit on the slower side tonight,
okay.
So I'm working through it right now.
Song, just, you know, from your personal recollection, does this song have any verbiage that may be considered non-FCC compliant?
No, the Macho Man didn't go that way, man. The Mach was about the kids. Mach was about the kids. This was a clean rap album.
Okay, just want to make sure this way when if he finds it, it's like, okay, there's an explicit version and then there's an edited for radio version. Like, which one do we need to find? You know, do we have to find the one where, you know, half the song is because
no, Mach was clean, man. Mach was clean. Mach was clean. Mach did it for the people. You know what I mean? And I believe this illustrious rap album sold. And this is a figure in my mind, so I'm going to be somewhat inaccurate. But in its first week of sales, back when people actually bought albums, this thing had like 3,200 in its first week. I mean, 3,200 sales. He was moving units. I think he may have probably sold 10,000 times more Slim Jims than he did albums.
So,
but the Be a Man album, I'm shocked that people who are listening right now, driving on the mean streets of H-Town, Texas, on 45 South, on 59, on 69. I don't even know when they started calling it that. Everyone driving around the city. Y'all are all probably screaming at your dial saying, how do these two guys, way apart in ages, by the way, because Pat's old. We've already established this on the show. And Josh was young. How do they not know this?
I'm going to be milestone old in about 6 weeks.
You're about to hit the five, right?
Big one, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Turn this up. This is Be a Man, Macho Man Randy Savage. Let that rock for a moment. I do all along, you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from Macho like I got a disease. Dude, please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight the rock, save you fast. But when I challenge homie to a real fight, he passed. What happened? Out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the hall didn't show. Hollywood hooked up, you're at the end of your rope. Well, that's his first rock. Wash your mouth, I was choked. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, off this wreck, so I can put you in check.
I feel like if DMX went no bad words, it would sound like this.
Let's grade the bars. Josh, what do you think of the bars that we're hearing?
You know what? They get some decent ratings from me. I'll give it to them.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
I went and did the homework, you know, the quick homework on this. Be a Man sold 15,000 copies. It was absolutely torn apart by critics. However, they did get some of those sarcastic praise type things. A student newspaper in Rhode Island wrote, it would not only change the entire music industry, but your life as you know it. Every song on the album is better than any other song you've heard in your life. Another one said, Savage is the epitome of a Renaissance man, and his rapping is way better than Shaquille O'Neal's.
Hey, come
don't
on,
you
man.
Love New York media?
CMJ,
bars.
CMJ, surprisingly tight for a middle-aged, muscle-bound beef jerky salesman with an audible constipation problem.
That is one that should be framed and put on the wall at the ESPN 975 studios, because that might be applicable to a lot of our on-air roster.
Shots fired.
I'm just playing. But, you know, that is Be a Man by Macho Man Randy Savage. And if Macho Man was here today, God bless his soul, he would be attending this fight going down this Saturday night. Here, this is what I wanted to ask y'all, though. Going back to this fight for a second, what do you think? So they've officially, both fighters are betting their entire purse on this fight. So what that means is if they lose, they do not get paid at all. Winner takes all. Pat, what do you think of that?
Is there a contract that says they never get the money? Like the money automatically just gets dispersed? Or are they going to get their money and then they have to write a check? Because I feel like if you make this bet, right, we're going to bet our purses against each other, but I'm still going to get my purse and then I have to write a check, that check's never getting written.
Well, you know, from what I'm seeing right now, they still have it. I mean, they did it at Instagram Live. They said, get the contract ready because we want to put it all on the line. We want to put it all out there. Someone's O must go, and someone's going to have an O in their bank account after this fight on Saturday. I don't know if that's a smart thing because here's the thing. This is what these fighters get too twisted about. They get all in the hype. They get all in the social media hype and the fame and, like, I'm better than you, and this machismo comes out, and they forget what they're doing this for. They are not fighting just for the praise and the glory. They're fighting to feed the family. And when you do something like this, I don't like this kind of stuff. I don't like it. It's a hell of a motivator, but I don't like that, man. I really don't. You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5. You just heard one of the most classic hip-hop records of all time. We got Joshua here. We got Patrick Creighton here. I'm the Boat Brad Gilmore. This is ESPN 97.5, the Hall of Fame, and we'll be back.
From Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5. Presented by this Saturday's mega fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia. Live on pay-per-view.
Go to sho.com/PPV to order now.
Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, ESPN 97.5. My name is the Boat Brad Gilmore. We're out here live in Las Vegas, Nevada, the MGM Grand. I'm in the media center for the big fight going down. PBC presents Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia live this Saturday night on pay-per-view from the T-Mobile Arena here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Nevada or Nevada? I've never said Nevada in my life to just then. I don't understand what happened.
You're just expanding your vocabulary. No big deal.
I'm trying to, you know what I mean? I'm trying to, yeah, expand the vocabulary, say things like the locals say it. I'm trying to blend in, you know what I mean? But I will tell you this. I have my Astros World Champion, World Series Champions hat on, and I got a lot of dirty looks in the airport. From a city that doesn't even have a baseball team.
No, and the team that they're going to get isn't exactly a baseball team either, so.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, before we get into any more boxing, what do we think about the Strohs? I mean, I watched that game last night against the Blue Jays, and it looks like Luis Garcia had it all on lock. And this Rafael Montero, I don't know, man. When I've seen him early this season, he hasn't been locked in as he was all last year.
No, you know, listen, this was the first game that Luis Garcia was really locked in, and he had electric struck. He struck out for six of the first seven guys that he faced, wound up going seven shutout innings, allowed one walk, two hits, struck out nine. He had 15.
Career high, I believe.
He had 15 cold strikes and 23 swings and misses. I mean, those are massive, massive numbers to have that many swings and misses in a game. So he was really locked in. It's the first time this season he's really been locked in. Montero came in the eighth, and Montero had a really good season for the Astros, but it was really kind of a one-off season. He'd never pitched that well in his life before. And Montero's a guy who throughout his career has always had, you know, some control issues, and he's had a habit of, you know, giving up the long ball. He really kind of undid a lot of that last year, and that's part of what made him so successful. But this year, his command is just not where it was. And what's happening is he's leaving balls over the plate a little too much. His breaking stuff doesn't have the same sharp bite that it had because his command is a little off. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Luis Garcia, his first couple of starts. His breaking stuff didn't have that sharp late movement. It just had this kind of like wiffle ball float to it. Not, you know, when guys throw those crazy wiffle pitches that, you know, move three different directions. But, you know, like when you're 9 years old and you learn to throw the curveball and it just kind of floats across. That's kind of what's been happening, and they float across the middle of the plate, and that's when they get tattooed. So Montero hasn't quite found it yet. And credit to Brian Abreu, because Brian Abreu got called into this game 2-1, bases loaded, nobody out.
No
George
outs.
Springer, yeah. Bo Bichette, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. coming to the dish, and he didn't give up a run.
I mean, incredible. And you know what? There's some great defensive plays there by Alex Bregman on that George Springer at bat, just jumping up and catching that ball. And you know what? I mean, I know George Springer left us, but that guy's still a quality player, and I hate to see him going through the early season woes that he is. What, 0-for-20, 0-for-21, I believe, in his last at-bats? I mean, kind of inexplicable for a guy the caliber of George Springer.
Georgie, though, he kind of has these streaks. Freaky, I mean, we saw this plenty in Houston. You know, think about the 2017 playoffs. I mean, he couldn't buy a hit for two rounds of the postseason, and then he's the World Series MVP. George Springer, he has these streaks where he can't buy a hit, and then he's unconscious. So kind of glad that his streak is a little high right now, because when they go back to playing and he finally gets that first hit, he's going to destroy people because he's going to get hot like that. Whereas, you know, he's going to wind up going like 8-for-12 and, you know, rack four homers. And I'm glad we're not going to see him when he's locked in like that.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but how do you feel about us early on? I know there are a lot of people already selling their Astros stock, and I'm saying, guys, look, this is so early in the season. One, we have a championship hangover, and then two, we got injuries that are nagging, and some of our key guys are out. We got people in new positions. We got, you know, a lot of new guys on this roster and guys who are really first getting their real taste of a full season in the big leagues. I don't feel like we're in a really bad position right now.
No, and they're not. And look, because the Astros have been so good for so long, a lot of fans have been spoiled. And they just expect, oh, well, the Astros, man, they should just win every game by five runs. And, you know, every hitter is always going to get a hit, and every pitcher is always going to throw strikeouts. And, you know, the reality is the best teams in baseball basically play 500 ball for most of the season, but they go on about four runs during the year where they'll win, you know, 11 in a row. They'll win 12 of 15. They'll win 17 of 21. Like, and this is what the Astros do. They play 500 ball, then they get on a run. And they'll play 500 ball, then they'll get on a run. And you put four runs together like that, you're a 100-win team. So, you know, the idea of, oh, man, the Astros, you know, they're only 9-10. Well, they're three games out of the division. It's not like anybody right. in the division is, you know, 20-2. You know, there's no 84 Tigers in the AL West. You don't have to worry about that. And look, the Astros, you know, recent history, they always get off to a start like this. They started off 7-9 like 4 years in a row. Well, has that kept them out of the ALCS? I mean, we basically renamed the ALCS the Astros Invitational. So it's not like it has impacted their ability to win games, to get to where they want to be, to win 100 games, to win the division, you know, by double digits. Like, none of these things are – nobody loses a division in April. So people are just – they're oversensitive to the, you know, short sample size because there's nothing else going on. And, you know, maybe they've got a little – maybe they're a little tired of talking about Texans draft. I can certainly understand that. I might be tired of talking about Texans draft.
Who isn't tired of that?
Cody Stutes is not tired of that.
Well, you know what? God bless him. Love your brother, Cody. But, yeah, no, I think that you're absolutely right. And to me, we've seen this team – come through so much at so many different points of the season that I'm not worried about this. And had that Rangers series played a little bit more in our favor than it did for them, we might be atop of the division right now, or at least only one game behind first place. So I'm not worried at all. But I don't like, and I know everyone's probably talked about this a million times, and it's just the way of the MLB now, but I don't like when you see someone like Luis Garcia doing what he was doing last night. There was no reason to pull him out at that time. I know that's what we do now. I get it. I know that's what we do. But this early in the season on a Wednesday night game, let this man go. Let him cook. You know what I mean? Let the man cook.
Yeah, they went to the hole. He threw 92 pitches. They were going to get him out. That he'd had a really good start after having three struggling starts. And they decided they were going to try to get him out on a high note. And look, normally that's what's going to happen. You just expect your setup man not to completely implode. Fortunately, yeah. You know, Abreu got out of it. And then they go on to hang a sixth spot in the eighth. And wound up being a comfortable win. And when we get to Memorial Day, the Astros will be in first place, like usual.
You know what? I agree with you. Now, who's going to have a comfortable win this Saturday Night Live on pay-per-view? Neither man's going to get it comfortably. It's going to be a dogfight. Don't miss out on this. We're going to be back tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame. My man Booker T is going to be here this time. I want to give the biggest of shout-outs to my man Patrick Creighton for sitting in on a moment's notice and kicking it with me. And Josh, man, DJ J. Shea, as I've called him today, really appreciate you, man, doing the Wheels of Steel and the producing. This is Brad Gilmore, man, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, here at the MGM Grand. This is the Hall of Fame. And we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow night on ESPN 975. Until then, be well, H-Town.
ESPN 97.